Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
Like I've been saying from day one, somebody got my daughter. They're holding her against her will. I done told the story, I don't know how many times. I can't explain it. I know, like when my son got murdered, I felt it. I can't explain what I felt, but I felt it. I couldn't sleep. I tossed and turned. I just prayed a lot. And then when my nephew told me somebody told him that they thought my son was murdered, it was like I knew. I just put my shoes on and I was like, let me go up here. Where you say it was? Went up there and I was like, this is my son, Davon, because I didn't want them to say it was an unidentified male. With Keisha, I don't feel it. Every dream I have is like somebody got her and she wants to come home, but they won't let her come home. I had dreams that she was drugged. I might be in denial. I have my good days and bad days. I'm very lonely. Man, my kids were very close. She was grown, but she was still my baby. She would still lay up in the bed with me and watch movies. We were so close. We was really close.
Just to have a heart and just let her go. Tell us where she is, you know. Just let her, tell us where she is. It's not fair. It's definitely not fair. And no parent should ever have to go through this. Because it could easily have happened to you. I don't know if you had kids or you had family. It could be any of your family members. It could have happened to you. You know, but we have some really sick individuals in this world. So if they were that heartless to do it to her, then, I mean, how much could you really say that to impact that person?
On September 26, 2016, 21-year-old Keisha Jacobs told her mother that she was going to spend the night at a friend's house, and she promised to call the next morning. Her mother never heard from Keisha again. Keisha's mother, Toni, immediately knew that this was not like her daughter, and she called around to family and then the police. In the 2 years since Keisha has vanished, her brother has been murdered, and her mother has spent many sleepless nights looking for her daughter. In that time, no trace of Keisha has been found. This case is full of unanswered questions, mysterious characters, and possibilities. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 154 of The Vanished, Keisha Unique Jacobs' story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. At the time of her disappearance, Keisha Jacobs was a young woman who had her whole life ahead of her, and she was exploring all the opportunities that life had to offer after graduating high school. Keisha's mother, Toni, spoke with us for this episode. She told us that Keisha had started working at a local fast food restaurant while she was still in high school. With her senior prom approaching, Keisha requested the evening off so that she could attend. Unfortunately, she was put on the schedule anyway. Her mom, Toni, was always supportive of her children and told Keisha that she would only have one senior prom, but that she would have her whole life ahead of her to work. After graduating from high school, Keisha worked at a retail store close to their home in Richmond, Virginia. where she lived with her mother and older brother, Davon. Davon had been in prison but was about to be released, and Keisha was very excited about getting to hang out with her older brother again. Despite their four-year age difference, Keisha and Davon were very close, and they both also shared a close relationship with Tony. On September 26, 2016, Tony Jacobs went to work and then stopped by their home to pick up her books for the evening classes she was taking. Keisha met her at her car and gave Tony her backpack. When Tony returned from her evening class, Keisha told her that she was headed to a friend's house for a sleepover, and that she would call Tony the next day. This was the last time that Tony spoke with Keisha. Here's Tony speaking about that day.
The day Keisha went missing, it was like 5 o'clock. Well, some after five, I called Keisha to let her know I was running late because I was in school and I needed her to bring my book bag downstairs when I pull up. I'm not going to have time to go in the house or anything. She said, yes, ma'am, as usual. I called her right when I was almost getting ready to pull up. And she brought my book bag out. We had a little conversation about me going straight to school and not getting anything to eat. Her brother came out to the car with her. And I was like, I'm going to class. I'll see y'all later. Later on that night, I got home. Then she proceeded to tell me that she was going to stay over a friend's house. And I was like, okay. I was like, just make sure your phone's charged and you let me know when you make it there and you're okay. She was like, okay, Ma. I'll be back tomorrow. I was like, okay. Me and her brother was like, all right, Key. I'll talk to you later.
Tony wasn't concerned about Keisha spending the night with some friends. That's not out of the ordinary for a young adult to do. But her concern started to mount the following day as the hours passed and she hadn't heard from Keisha.
The next day came and I tried to call Keisha's phone because normally if she spent the night at somebody's house, at least by noon, when I'm between 11:30 and 12, when I'm on my lunch break, I haven't heard from her one way or the other to let me know that she'd be home or that she's going to stay another night or something. I called her phone when I didn't hear from her, and it went straight to voicemail, but I didn't think any other thing of it. I was like, oh, they must have hung out late or just stayed up late or something. She's sleeping in a little bit. The day went on. I called her phone and kept going to voicemail. And I called her brother. I was like, you talked to Keisha. He was like, no, Ma. He said he'd been trying to call her phone as well. And it's been going straight to voicemail. So at that point, by the time I got off work, I had got worried. So I started calling around to her friends to see if anybody had talked to her or seen her. Everybody said, no, Miss Tony, I ain't seen her, talked to her, but I would call around and see if anybody had. I was like, okay. I was like, her phone is still going straight to voicemail, which was bothering me. And my son was like, Mom, calm down. She's okay. And so I was like, okay, Lord Jesus. And I just couldn't rest. So I went upstairs because I had to go to work, maybe about 10 o'clock, and lay down. And I fell asleep, but I woke up out of my sleep about maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. And I called her phone again, no answer. It was going straight to voicemail. So I got up, put my clothes on, and went knocking on some friends' doors that I knew where I had dropped her off, where she'd spent the night before. Everybody was like, they hadn't seen her. So I started riding around Richmond and crying and stuff. And then I went to the police precinct and reported her missing. Once I did that, the police officer asked for her ID. Luckily, I had Keisha's ID, one of her actual IDs, because she was forever losing them and not finding them, so I keep one in my wallet. And gave it to him. And the first question he comes out of his mouth was, how do you know she's missing? He said, she could just left. I said, because my daughter don't have to not turn her phone off and not call or not answer the phone. I was like, you know, she calls me every day, you know, and she's always let me know where she's at.
Keisha was 21 years old. She didn't have to tell her mom about everything she was doing, but the two were close and she made a habit of keeping Tony informed.
I don't know. I don't know every move she makes, but usually she let me know and say, hey, Mom, so-and-so. I guess just to ease my mind. But I said, her phone keep going to voicemail. Something is wrong. So he finally took the report, and I think it took them maybe 3 or 4 days before anybody contacted me from the Richmond Police Department. In the meantime, 2 days later, her friends come knocking on my door to tell me that they dropped her off at somebody's house over there off of Broad Street. They proceeded to let me know that they went over there before they came to my house and asked the person, did they see Keisha? And they said that he told them that he did, but she left. So they came back to the house, and I was like, why didn't y'all tell me this before? You know, you waited 2 days to tell me that you dropped off at somebody's house when I told you that it wasn't, something was wrong when she didn't call me. And they know that. They know Keisha always calls me and talks to me every day, all day long. I'm talking to my daughter. Even if she's mad at me, I'm still talking to her. So I proceeded to go over there to the house over there off of Broad Street in Richmond and knocked on the door. The person said they did see Keisha, but it wasn't adding up. They kept naming all these different times, like 5 o'clock, then 5:30, then it was like 6 o'clock, then it was like 4 o'clock. So it wasn't adding up to me. So I called the police from there, and I told them that this person may know where my daughter is at and she's missing. So the police came there. They say they searched the house. I don't know. But my daughter hasn't been seen or heard from since. Last time I talked to her was September the 26th.
A few days after Keisha disappeared, some of her friends came over to Tony's house, and they told her that another friend, DeMarcus, had driven her to the house that she was last seen at. All indications point to DeMarcus being the last person to see Keisha. But Tony says the police have no reason to suspect that he's involved.
He took her over there. The information is vague to me. Only thing I know is I don't know if she was supposed to meet other friends over there or anything. Because I didn't know he took her over there until like maybe 2 or 3 days later. The police talked to him and he was very cooperative with the police with all the questions that they had for him and everything.
This is where the events leading up to Keisha's disappearance seem to be fuzzy. When we talked with Tony, she said that there was evidence that Keisha was in the house that DeMarcus dropped her off at, but there's no proof that she ever left. Police searched this house in the days after Keisha disappeared, but we don't know what, if anything, they found. While I was researching this case, I saw a news article that described an unknown possible person of interest who was currently incarcerated that the police believe may have information on what happened to Keisha. Tony told us what she knows about this information.
Only thing I know is she went over there to a house and the person who was there admitted that she was at that house and that she was there. He supposedly said she left, but there's no evidence that she left. And the person that's incarcerated it has information. I don't know who that is. They won't tell me.
Only thing I know, they're not telling me too much, is that a person that's incarcerated may know where her father whereabouts. But that's all they're releasing to me. They're not telling me no names or who they think it is or anything like that. I don't think I know this person because right now there's nobody that I know particularly that been around my family or something like that that's been incarcerated. So,
one of the first people that Tony called when she realized that something was wrong and Keisha wasn't picking up her phone was her younger sister, Elfreda. Elfreda also spoke with us for this episode. And this is what she remembers from the day Keisha vanished.
Well, during the time I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, for my job, doing some training, and I remember Tony calling me one night, and she had said to me, something's wrong. I've been calling Keisha, and she's not answering her phone. Something is not right. And, you know, at the time I was on the phone with her, she was actually knocking on one of Keisha's friend's door, you know, looking for her. And she was just really panicking. I'm like, you know, I was like, Tony, calm down. Just calm down and tell me what's going on or whatever. So needless to say, she kind of told me she said she was going to, you know, going over a friend's house or whatever. She said, but it's not like her not to answer her phone, which we know. But she kept calling her phone and she wasn't answering. So I said to her, I was like, look, calm down. Go to the police station now and file a missing persons report. Let them know you've been calling her and she's not responding. And that's how I found out. And I had like a whole nother day left still to be there in Pittsburgh. And at that point, I just completely it was the worst, the most scariest moment in my life.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. We all remember being 21 once. Guiche was spending her time taking care of her mom as she recovered from surgery, hanging out with her friends, and looking for a new job. Tony described Guiche as shy but fiercely loyal to those around her.
Guiche stayed with me, and matter of fact, I just had took a cast off my hand because I had surgery, so she was basically taking care of me. But she always be like, Mom, can I go over so-and-so house? And I'd be like, girl, I don't care what you do. You know, as a parent, don't be keep worrying me to death. I was like, just make sure your cell phone's charged up and you're okay. Just let me know you made it okay. But that night on the 26th, I text her like I always do before I went to sleep and let her know that I love her. And she told me she loved me too, and she'll see me the next day. And that's the last thing I got from her.
Guiche's mom, Tony, has four siblings, all of whom are very close. However, she has an exceptionally close relationship with her sister, Alfreda, who was just 13 months younger than Tony. Guiche grew up with so much family around her. Alfreda spoke about what she remembers growing up and what her family relationships are like.
My mom has a total of 5 children. There are 4 girls and 1 boy. We all pretty much, you know, we grew up together as a family and everything like that. And my mom, you know, my mom worked a full-time job, so did my dad. You know, we did things as a family. You know, we did the fishing and the Disney World. You know, we all worked once we were old enough. We delivered newspapers. We all worked, you know, part-time jobs, you know, throughout school and everything like that. And once everybody turned 18 and graduated, everybody flew the coop. You know, everybody left home, went to the service, military, or, you know, whatever they did.
As I mentioned earlier, Tony and Elfreda are very close. So Elfreda spent a lot of time around Keisha. This is what she told us about her.
Keisha, outgoing but shy at the same time. Like, when you first meet her, shy, like she doesn't do a lot of talking, but she's loyal. So it's like if she's for you, she's for you. And I mean, she's liked by so many people, and I even find like on my job, you know, people come in and, you know, they may see like a flyer or something I may have on my desk, and they're like, oh, I know Keisha. And it's amazing to me to know how many people know her and, you know, are experiencing pretty much the same, like, disappointment or, you know, heartbreaking that we are. Maybe not to the same magnitude, but the different lives that have been impacted by her, you know.
Keisha is 4 years younger than her older brother, Davon. But Tony described them as having a very close relationship. After Keisha vanished in September, Davon Jacobs took her disappearance personally and felt as though it was his responsibility to protect his younger sister. Just a few short months after Keisha disappeared, Davon was murdered. The family initially believed that the murder was related to Keisha's disappearance, but their mother Tony shared with me that Davon was killed over a vehicle dispute.
And he was like, you know, he disappointed her and he was supposed to protect her. That's all he kept saying. That's my job. I was supposed to protect her, Mom. I was supposed to protect her. And then he was like, why I can't find her, Mom? Why I can't find her? Keisha's brother he got murdered January the 8th, 2017, by a man named James Henshaw. He was convicted of murdering my son. He probably got 15 years. Right now, we're still waiting to do the formal sentencing because apparently he's trying to fight it. He's trying to prolong it and get some more testing done on some clothing, but the jury found him guilty of murdering my son and gave him 15 years. He tried to say it was self-defense, but the ME and everything said that my son didn't have no bruising on his body or anything to reflect self-defense. Only thing I know is that it was over a rental car. The man was married, and he was seeing a prostitute at a hotel, which Davon knew. And he became friends with him, and he rented Davon a car. I don't know what happened to the car. Evidently, he wanted the car back. And Davon was like, he don't know where the car at. Reporter stole it. And he refused to report it stolen because then his wife will find out what he's doing. The man I know Davon met after Keisha went missing, because Davon was incarcerated. So he was only home maybe 2 weeks before Keisha went missing. And they were so close and she was so hyped that her brother was home and he wasn't going to be hanging with those old friends no more. He wasn't going to get in trouble. She wouldn't even let him out the house without her, out of sight. When he went, she went. So, I don't know. I think he met Henshaw after Keisha went missing.
Within a span of 4 months, Tony Jacobs lost both of her children. However, her spirit has remained unwavering in her determination to find her daughter. Her sister, Elfreda, told us that looking for Keisha and remaining hopeful that she will one day return is what keeps Tony motivated to start every day with a positive outlook. However, there are times she finds herself really struggling with the realities of having one child murdered and the other missing.
Right here at the holidays, and the weekends are always the hardest for me because that's when me and my kids spent a lot of time together. So That's all. I'm trying to get myself together to go get my grandson because I told him I was going to put up a tree for him.
Elfreda also shared how close her family is and how they've become even closer in support of Tony and her search for Keisha.
She's amazingly strong, even though she has her breakdowns and stuff like that, but her determination is that she can't give up because Keisha is not home.
Growing up, Keisha and Davon were very close to Elfreda's children. Now, Elfreda's oldest son has stepped up to watch over Tony since Davon was murdered.
They were more like siblings, especially my middle son and my youngest son. They were like siblings, not even cousins. They were hard on each other, you know. They told each other what they needed to tell each other, and Keisha was, you know, always on my youngest son about keeping himself together. Keisha and my oldest son are the same age. They're like, my oldest son, Rashad, his birthday is in March. Keisha's is in August, so they're both the same age. My oldest son, you know, he's real, I want to say, he's real emotional. And he's that one, he drops like everything, and he was with Tony every day. Every day, like throughout the day, he took time off of work and everything. And then like my middle son, he's in the Army. So to have to call and tell him this, it just broke him. It was really hard because he and Keisha were really close.
When I was researching this case, I did not find any information about Keisha's father. Tony shared that he's never maintained an active presence in Keisha's life, but he did connect with Tony after she disappeared.
He really has never been a part of her life. So, like, right around the time that she was graduating, I saw him and I told him to reach out to her. He did, but it was the same stuff, like, making promises he's going to see her and he don't type things. Keisha was, she was pretty much used to it, you understand? So it really didn't bother her too much. So she always called him her dad was her donor, sperm donor. I had another friend who passed away years ago that she used to call dad because he used to be there for her and do a lot of things for her and my son. We had a long-time relationship.
Elfreda also spoke about the difficult and distant relationship Keisha had with her father.
I know he showed up, and I know he may have called her, but it wasn't one of those phone calls to say, hey, listen, you know, no, just forget it. You know, we might hear somebody say, you know, we know him and he's so torn up about Keisha, but no, we want to know how you're torn up. You're not engaged. We don't communicate with him. Yeah, he's somewhere, I guess. I don't know. Well, I mean, it's possible that he could be looking. We don't know. There's no coming together.
You've heard me cover cases in the past where we were left wondering if law enforcement was doing all they could to find the missing person. Keisha's case is one of the best examples of law enforcement putting forth their best effort to bring Keisha home to her family. I reached out to the police department during my research for this episode, but they declined to comment, citing an active investigation. So I asked Tony and Elfreda to share what their experiences have been interacting with law enforcement over the past 2 years.
They actually have been very supportive with me through all of this. When Keisha first went missing, I got a lot of prank calls, people playing on my phone, sending crazy messages on Facebook, and everything I sent them, they responded. I don't care what time of night, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, I sent it to them, they responded to me. Even now, any event that I do for Keisha, they're always there. Just the last one we did is for her anniversary last Wednesday, my 2 years, the police chief was out there with us. So, I mean, they're very supportive, and like I about talk to them at least once a week or so. I mean, even when my son got murdered, they were still just call, if nothing else, calling and checking on him. Is Tony, you okay? You need us to do anything? You know, stuff like that.
Elfreda told us about how grateful their family is for the work law enforcement is doing to look for Keisha and the support that they've provided to the Jacobs family.
I know that they are constantly, you know, of course they have the Crime Solvers line that you can call in and give tips. And there are times where, you know, I do know that people may send a message through Keisha's page, missing persons page we have set up for her, and say, you know, hey, listen, I think maybe I saw her, or maybe you should check this place or whatever. And when we give that information to them, they jump right on it. So they're in constant communication with us as to, listen, we have nothing, but we want you to know we're still working, we're still searching, we're still hoping with you. So they're constantly giving that hope and that reassurance that they are not giving up. The chief of police has been out there. The mayor has been out there. Other detectives, other police officers. I mean, she has an amazing support system. I say to people, because sometimes even personally, people will talk to me about it. It was like, you know, what are the police doing? What are they doing? And I say, you know, the one thing I always say to them, just because you don't see any evidence doesn't mean there's nothing happening. You know, it's just like a chair. You, by faith, you believe that you're going to sit in a chair. When you go to sit down, that chair is going to be behind you or underneath you. You don't know that until you look and see it. But just because you see it doesn't mean that chair is going to support you.
While speaking with Alfreda, we asked her what her desired outcome is for this. Does she want to get justice for the person or people who harmed Keisha? Or does she want closure for what happened to her niece? This is what she had to say.
I mean, I want Keisha home. Absolutely. But the thing about it is, we talk justice. You absolutely want justice, because the thing about it is, if you get Keisha and not the person that took her, then that person's still out there to do it again to somebody else. Yeah, because that's the thing. It could possibly be that it's not just Keisha. It could be other people that are with her. I know that she went to visit somebody, but honestly, I don't know. Somebody, you know, decided, let me give her a drug, dope her up, and make her unaware of her soundings or whatever, you know. And in order to do that, you really would have to tackle her, like take her down. I love my niece, and I wish I'm ready for her to come home, and so that we can begin the process of healing. You know, I was saying the other day when they did they announced the reward and everything like that, just to see it on the news, and it's like it just opens it up all over again, even though it never closes anything. But it's like I was like, I'm so tired of seeing her on the news. I'm tired of riding around. I have this flyer on my car. I just want her to come home. I just want her to be okay, you know. And the thing is, understanding that when she comes back, if and when she comes back, she will not return in the condition that she left. So it's a long road to, you know, healing that would definitely have to take place. I understand that there's a process of healing, because there's that fear. There's so many different areas that are like totally have been violated. Your trust level, you know, it could be anything at this point, sex, drug addiction. It could be alcohol. It could be so many different areas that has to be dealt with. And when you think about it, that fear of even coming out in public again, it could be so bad that she don't ever want to come outside again, you know. But you have to connect her with people that can help her. So at that point, you just have to reach out to the community and find how to move her along.
Alfreda also spoke about an interaction she had while she was out driving around town, and how looking for Keisha has consumed her life over the past 2 years.
And it's crazy. I was riding down the street, and I was telling somebody about this. I was riding down the street probably a couple of months ago, and there was this little girl walking towards Midlothian. And this is off of like Carnation Street, and she was walking towards, you know, in the direction of Midlothian Turnpike. And this little girl, she had to be about 4 or 5 years old. And I'm looking like, okay, well, maybe she's walking with that man that I saw that was probably 10 steps ahead of her. And I pulled over and I was like, honey, where are you going? And then I said, sir, do you know her? And he said, no. I said, honey, where are you going? She said, to the store. And I'm like, well, how old are you? And, you know, needless to say, she told me she was like 4 years old or something like that. I said, listen, do you mind coming with me? And that's the issue right there. When I tell you, my whole life just flashed, because easily, if I was a crazy person, I now have a child that I could totally take advantage of. I said, do you mind showing me where you live? You know, I said, I want you to get in the front seat, and I want you to pay attention to where we're going. Show me where you live. So got her to her apartment, knocked on the door. Her mom came to the door.
I said, ma'am, this is your daughter? And she was like, yeah. I was like, okay. So she was on Carnation Street walking towards Midlothian because she said her sister was at the store. Oh, my God, I was looking for you. Thank you, ma'am. I said, ma'am, can I say something? I said, listen, I'm glad I saw her. I said, but if you could walk with me to my car. I said, I have a flyer on each side of my car. That's my niece who went missing. But she went to see somebody that she probably thought she trusted. I said, please, please. She said, okay, thank you, ma'am. We're so laxy-daisy about this thing. If it doesn't affect you, if it's not happening to you, then we're not affected by it.
You've heard me discuss cases in the past where the missing person's family was extorted via social media or text message by scammers who claimed to have the missing person or information about their location. This has happened to Keisha's mother as well. The reason I share these stories is that I'm hopeful it will prevent others from being scammed in the future. Tony told us more about what happened.
I've had somebody Facebook me and send me a message telling me that they had their daughter was with missing and that she paid to get her child back and that her daughter mentioned that Keisha was there and that she has the person number to contact to get the money back, get the money to him so I can get Keisha back. And then one time somebody reached out to my sister thinking well, she was Keisha's mom and on Facebook and was telling her in a graphic that this pimp had her, he's beating her, making her do all this different stuff. They're going to try to help her get him back, help get Keisha back, and it will probably cost a certain amount of money. You know, I just let them pretend like that Keisha was still, you know, that was my sister was her mom. And we would send everything to the police, correspondent to the police or whatever. But yeah. I had people call my phone pretending like saying, mom, mom. And I was like, and thinking, pretending like the Keisha and telling me and begging me to come get her and stuff like that. The voice was kind of low. Well, like when the first one was done, it was like when she first went missing. So, you know, I was like on edge. Oh, my God, where are you at? You know, that type of thing. When she first went missing, I think Keisha won't even missing like 2 weeks yet. So when the call came, and I had people call me or text me and tell me that, you know, she's at a different location. I just need to go get her. Hurry up and go get her. I get over there. Keisha wasn't there. You know, stuff like that.
Some of the cases that I've covered on this show seem to have answers written between the lines. In Keisha's situation, there simply isn't an answer that points towards a specific conclusion. Tony and Alfreda spoke about the person who is currently incarcerated, the person who may know more than he shared, but not even the police have announced a theory or person of interest in Keisha's case. At the time of her disappearance, Keisha was helping her mom, spending time with her friends and her brother, and there's no evidence to point to any high-risk activities or people who may have had a motive to harm her. So what happened to Keisha Jacobs on September 26th, 2016? Were her friends telling the truth about her being dropped off? Would she have just walked away? And what about this person who's incarcerated? This guy that the police believe may have knowledge of her whereabouts. They haven't released his name or much information about him except for that he's a violent criminal. Was she a victim of human trafficking? Or was she the victim of foul play? Although the police department declined to speak with us, they have previously stated to the press that they suspect foul play. This story leaves more questions than answers, and it's a complete mystery as to what happened to her and why someone would want to harm her. At the time of her disappearance, Keisha was 21 years old, 5'3" tall, and weighed approximately 100 pounds. She has brown hair and brown eyes. Keisha also has a tattoo of a leaf on her right foot, paw prints on her right leg, and a flower on her right hand. If you have any information about the disappearance of Keisha Jacobs, please call the Richmond Police Department at 804-801-4503. You can also leave an anonymous message with Crime Stoppers at 804-780-1000. You can follow Keisha's case on Facebook at Help Find Keisha Jacobs.
But everything in my soul is telling me somebody got my baby and you won't let her go. I know somebody out there knows something, you know, and I don't know how to explain. You have this feeling like people, like somebody could be around you that knows something, but they're scared to say it. But I believe somebody knows something, and maybe they don't know this person is incarcerated and they could tell it. Now they know whoever they're scared of is incarcerated right now. So I'm just hoping that somebody will come forward. And I ride down the street. I look at girls that may be the size of my daughter, you know, with the same little features. I'm always looking just in case, you know, you never know. You never know.
That brings us to the end of episode 154. I'd like to thank Tony and Alfreda for speaking with us for the show. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to contact me, there's a page and a discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram as thevanishedpodcast. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wondery.com, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There's a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by filling out a short survey at Wondery.com/survey. Join me next time. I'll be covering a case from Arizona. Thanks for listening.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together, and we were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.